Let me start with a little background justification for our interest in more competitive traits in soybeans. We work with organic soybean producers, and we all know it's a big industry. It's a $20 billion industry, and particular markets that are growing include the egg and organic dairy industries, as well as organic meats. In North Carolina, we're the number one state in organic egg production. And typically, producers are receiving more than double the price for conventional soybeans. But unfortunately, currently, our North Carolina farmers aren't meeting the state's demand for organic soybeans. We have to import millions of dollars worth of organic grains every year. The biggest challenge to our producers is weed management. And for an organic producer, typically, what they have to do for a weed management program is adapt several weed management tactics. This is sometimes referred to as a mini little hammers approach. Let me frame this for conventional growers. It's the big tool for their weed management, the glyphosate systems and the Roundup Ready beans. It's effective. It's a great weed management program. But unfortunately, this powerful tool is off the table for organic growers. And so instead, these producers have to rely on a suite of tactics. Each one by itself definitely cannot manage the weed populations, but together there's this cumulative effect in reducing weed populations. So our interest in developing cultivars that are more competitive is the potential for this being another tactic. And we know it's a powerful tactic for disease and insect management. And so the two questions that we address here, first, in the development of a more competitive genotype, how can a breeder predict the weed suppressive ability of that genotype? And second, for these more competitive genotypes, what traits are really giving that genotype a competitive edge? So the objectives that we had parallel these questions, first of all, to identify a non-destructive measurement that correlates well with a soybean genotype's competitiveness, and also determining we measured these traits, the seed size and several leaf characteristics, as well as early and late height in our experiment and their influence on the competitive ability. So looking at some of the research that's been done in this field, I put up here some of the bigger papers that have come out. And in general, there's a consensus that there are differences in genotypes, for sure, in their competitive ability. But the variation is large, always, in these types of experiments. A couple things that set our research apart from this. First of all, thanks to Dr. Tommy Carter's soybean breeding group, we have a great diversity of traits in the soybean genotypes that we tested. And second, what we chose to do in this experiment, instead of taking the soybeans to yield, we focus on what I refer to as the literature refers to as the critical period for weed competition. Let me frame that very quickly. So looking at this graph, the red line here are soybean yields, the longer that the weeds are allowed to remain in the plot. So, and that's compared to a non-weedy control versus this blue line, which is the amount of time where the weeds are removed, that weed-free. And you can see it about by day 50, any weeds that are emerging past that really don't affect the crop. So this period right between those two lines, the time frame when weed presence significantly reduces soybean yield, that's what we're referring to as that critical period for weed competition. That's where all of our measurements, including the final biomass harvests, take place, just in that period. And so I'm going to use this schematic to orient you to what we did. These first, the seed size, and then that second column of boxes, those are the traits that we investigated. This third column of boxes I'm going to refer to as our predictors of weed suppressive ability. And finally, this fourth column of boxes here on the right are the actually harvested indicators of weed suppressive ability. So let me start with those first two sets of boxes. Of course, we've got the 100 seed weight that I should be showing in grams, as well as the canopy height taken at 2 and 6 weeks after emergence, and these leaf characteristics that I'm going to describe to you with a diagram. First, with the seed sizes, what we did here is that we sifted seeds within three popular cultivars used by our producers. You can see here with soybean Hutchinson, that's maturity group 5, we got a great distribution of seed sizes. Our largest seed size class here, the 23 gram 100 weight, is more than twice the size of the small. NC Roy is a maturity group 6, and NC Raleigh is a maturity group 7. But we also investigated different seed sizes across different genotypes. And for the most part, the genotypes here on the left are all tofu varieties, these large seeded varieties. And on the right, they're referred to as natto varieties, these smaller seeded. And soybean canopy trait leaf characteristics that we measured include the petiole and this petiolial, as well as the third leaflet width and length. And we can combine these three measurements here to get an overall leaf length as well. Our experimental design, we did this at two locations. We did 9 reps, really trying to attack the large variation that we see in the literature. Here's one block layout, and it's basically, I guess, best described as a strip split. The main plots you can think of as these tests. For example, these first 3 main plot tests were the different seed size classes within those popular cultivars. And then here's our natto tofu comparison in that test 4. I'm not going to talk too much about these top 2 tests, but we had some genotypes comparing different petiole lengths as well as heights at different times in the season. And then the strips, what we did here for logistical purposes, we have a weed-free strip, and right next to it is a weedy strip. The genotype or seed size class was a 2 plots side by side so that we could compare the weedy-weed-free effect. And so the way we did this, you can see our high boy here, and I want to point out here, these nozzles here are turned on. We're spraying Alachlor for those weed-free strips, and then right next to it, note these nozzles are turned off. Those are going to be our weedy strips where we overseeded a sand pigweed mix. I did this push behind Gandhi applicator here, seeding in right over the row. We're really trying to get rid of that non-uniformity and have a more uniform weed population to reduce variation. Finally, we took out weeds between the row with between row cultivation, just leaving the weeds that are right next to the crop for competition. And so returning to our schematic now, this third column of boxes, the predictors, there's 2 main measurements that we utilize. Canopy percent ground cover, which I'll describe in a moment, taken at 2 and 5 weeks after emergence, and light interception at 4 and 6 weeks. So here's our percent ground cover. We used a custom-built camera stand, and we took overhead images of the row, converted them to black and white images, and then got a ratio of the black to white pixels as a percent ground cover estimate. And with a light wand stand, we get simultaneous above and below canopy light measurements to get the estimate of light interception by the canopy. So those are our predictors of weed suppressibility. Moving into the actually harvested indicators of weed suppressibility, these are biomass harvests that we took at 7 weeks after emergence. Recall that we have the weedy, weed-free plot side by side, so we get that weed-free plot and then compare it to how much the soybeans were reduced by the weeds. And then our critical measurement here, that weed biomass. For us, the indication was reductions in the weed biomass were indicative of a more competitive genotype. So here we are with a forage harvester. For the weed-free strips, it was very easy to get those. We could just harvest the 10-foot a row and get the data. For those weedy strips, we've got to separate out the weeds and the soybeans and then get that weed biomass. So moving into the results here, the next 3 regression graphs on the y-axis, we're going to have the weed biomass as related to, in this case, our best predictor of weed suppressibility, that early imaging. So you can see a strong relationship with more percent ground cover, we're seeing reduced weed biomass at that biomass harvest. Traits of interest, of course, the early height was coming up as important. A taller seedling was reducing weed biomass. But even more significant was the seed size. Larger seeds were resulting in less biomass with the different genotypes examined. And you can see here, the tofu varieties, for the most part, were reducing biomass much more than those natto varieties. But one complication with this comparison is that tofu varieties tend to have a wider leaflet, and natto varieties have this narrow leaf. These are genetically linked traits. And so we can tease out the effect of seed size even more effectively by coming to those seed size classes that we sieved out of the different popular cultivars. So I'm going to use some simple regression just to show you some of the relationship about how those seed sizes affected predictors and end of experiment harvested biomass. So within Hutchinson, you see that the seed size significantly had a relationship with increasing these indicators of light interception and ground cover Larger seeds meant larger ground cover, more light. And seed size also affected that important trait of early height. And you can see how that flows into our predictors. And the seed size effect carried into 6 weeks into the experiment into late height as well. That's in our soybean Hutchinson, that maturity group 5. When we look at the maturity group 6 Roy, we see the relationship of early height into those traits and even the biomass, but note that there is no link between the seed size and early height. There really wasn't an established relationship there. So for this first season, it's suggested that the seed size effect is maybe interacting with the cultivar. But with Raleigh, the relationship was most dramatic. Larger seeds resulted in more soybean biomass and less reduction due to weeds. A quick graph of regressing this, you see as the seed sizes got larger within that cultivar, we saw more fresh soybean biomass. And that's in the weed-free biomass. And also larger seeds were resulting in a canopy that intercepted more light. And the effect was also seen on early height, flowing all the way to those biomass harvests, and finally late height as well. So some of the conclusions. We found that of our predictors that we were testing, that early percent ground cover was the best predictor for what might be a weed suppressive ability or a weed suppressive genotype. And we thought that for this first season, seed size seemed to be a good indicator of weed suppressive ability. Finally, it kind of draws some attention to us about the potential of maybe larger seeds within a genotype. Sifting those out might be worth it to some producers, especially in upping your crop competitiveness in that critical period for weed competition. So it's a question that's arisen from these results, if large seed selection might be another weed management tactic for our producers. And at that, I'll open it up for any questions that you might have.
We do have time for a few questions. So.
It was that clear?
I've got a question.
All right.
When you look at your seed sizes, if I was going to buy a bag of commercial seed, how much would I be throwing away if I needed to sieve out the small seeds versus the large seeds? And shouldn't they be all about the uniform size anyway?
Yeah, well, and that's one thing that we've been talking about. We don't think that it would be too difficult to go to our seed distributor and see if we could fit a screening process and just sell the seeds like that to our producers. But for that larger seed size class, you know, we could even get larger seed size classes, but it was too small of a percent. I would say in this case it was about 10 to 15%, if memory serves me, of the total seed bag was in that largest seed size class.
Any other questions? Yes.
Do you have any data where you took that those plots to find the yield?
So the question was, did we take the plots to yield? And that was kind of the point of our design. We don't take these plots to yield, and that was very intentional. The reason being, first of all, we've got all kinds of maturity groups from maturity group 4 all the way up to maturity group 7 in the experiment. And what we wanted to do was isolate it to that period where they're competing with weeds. Now, obviously, that happens all season long, but by taking it to yield, all of a sudden it's confounded by which genotypes might be more disease resistant than others, which genotypes have their nitrogen fixation coming online faster than others, mycorrhizal associations that might be genotype specific. So by limiting it to that critical period for weed competition, our intention was to really focus it just on the weed competition and avoid other confounding effects.
Okay, with that, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.